Ephesians chapter 4. Growing up at 7-Up, you remember when you were, some of you old timers, there was a commercial that came on back in the 50s, and it showed this fella crawling across the desert. And there would be a little flash in that commercial, but you really couldn't catch what it was. But as the commercial ended, one thing you did notice is that you were thirsty. And not only were you thirsty, but you were thirsty for 7-Up. And what they found out was they were using subliminal messages in that advertising. They were you could not catch it, but they were showing, they were flashing this guy as he's crawling across the desert, just dying of thirst. They were flashing an ice cold 7-Up for it. And the effect was that it was affecting people. And so this was the FCC ruled that they were not allowed to do that. And but the effect on the psyche of subliminal messages. But I was thinking about that growing up with 7-Up. I want you to look at tonight. I want to give you 7 things that we need to do if we're going to grow up. Maybe when you were a child, or maybe after you were already an adult, somebody telling you you need to grow up. But the Bible tells us that we need to grow up. And I want you to, there's 7 things we need to do. Number one, we need to start up. Number one, say that with me, start up. We need to start up. John chapter 3, verse 7 says, Jesus said, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again." To start up simply means just, number one, there must be, it involves a birth. We talked about that this morning, getting your name on the list. We talked about the fact that everybody must be born again. Everybody needs to make sure they've got a proper start, and that means getting saved. The Bible teaches us until we're born again that we cannot comprehend spiritual things, that we cannot discern them. So to start up, number one, means that we must. It involves a birth by the Spirit of God. The 1 John 5:1 said, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him, that begot him, loveth him also that is begotten of him." So there must be a proper birth. Secondly, there needs to be a baptism. When you get saved, you're going to get a right start. You need to get, number one, you need to be born again. Number two, the very first thing you're commanded to do is to be baptized. It's not something you might ought to think about. It's not something that maybe you would consider. It's not something that whenever you get around to it, it is a command of God that we ought to be baptized. And so at our earliest opportunity, we ought to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. If you've been saved but not baptized, you are being disobedient. You're disobeying your Lord and Savior. If we're going to grow up, we need to start up right. And that means, number one, it means that it involves a birth, getting saved. Number two, it involves a baptism. The Bible tells us that we must, when we are baptized, it means we are identifying with Christ. It says that we're buried with him in baptism and raised to walk in newness of life. Baptism doesn't save you, but it's the first thing you ought to do when you get saved. You ought to get baptized. Amen? And so there's baptism. Number three, there's also, it involves a belonging. We need to become a part of our local church. The Bible teaches us if we're going to get the right start, we need to be members at church and active members, involved in that membership, involved in that congregation. And when we do that, we find fellowship, we find the opportunity to serve, just like what you heard tonight. The church family, a church should provide opportunities for its people to serve. It's not that a few should do everything. The church needs to find ways and opportunities that its membership can serve, because we grow by serving, amen, and by being involved. And so we need to belong. We need to get in church, and it's my church. We need to feel that sense of love and loyalty for my church. There's a belonging that needs to take place. We need to get involved. God did not make us to be like nomads that just wander around. We are to attach ourselves, be a part of it. And if we're going to grow and like we should, we need to start upright. And that means that we need to get saved, need to get baptized, need to be part of the church. Number two, we need to not only start up, we need to speak up. We need to speak up. Romans 10:11 says, the scripture says, whosoever believeth in him should not be ashamed. We need to speak up. We need to speak up courageously. We ought not allow others to intimidate our testimony for Christ. We ought not allow others to make us feel like that because of whatever, whichever way society is moving, that somehow means that we have to be in lockstep with them. Carry your Bibles with you to work. Take your Bible with you to school. Have gospel tracts in your pocket and purse. Pass them out. Put religious symbols around you wherever you are. Let your banner fly. Let people know you're a Christian and you're not ashamed to be a Christian and you're happy to be in His service. God calls upon us to be of good courage. He said He will not fail us. The Bible tells us that we ought to speak up. It said, let the saved in the Lord say so. Amen? If you're a child of God, let folks know you're a child of God. Let your family know you're a child of God. Let your fellow workers know you're a child of God. Let the people you go to school with know you're a child of God. Let your neighborhood know that you're a child of God. Speak up courageously. We also need to speak up clearly. Do folks know where you stand? Do they know what you believe? Does your family know what you believe? I'm not talking about going up and being confrontational. I'm not talking about being rude. I'm not talking about being crude. I'm not talking about being belligerent and hateful and mean-spirited and hard to get along with. But people can know where you stand because you have spoken up on it. People need to know that you take a clear stand. People need to know where you stand on abortion because that's a moral issue. People need to know where you stand about so-called gay rights. The Bible teaches us that marriage should be between a man and a woman. People ought to know where you stand. And the reason why so much as gets by is because God's people oftentimes are not standing up and speaking up. And so we need to speak up clearly for where we believe. But thirdly, we need to speak up compassionately. There's a way to do it, isn't there? There's a way to show love and understanding. You know, compassion means that you're able to put yourself in another person's shoes and understand what they're feeling. And do people know that you care about them? Do people in your family know that you care about them? Do people in your workplace know that? Paul says we're to speak the truth in love. So we need to speak up compassionately. All right? The Bible says that we're to grow. I'm saying that we need to grow up. We need to start up right. We need to speak up. And then number three, we need to show up. How's that one? Amen? We need to show up. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. What does that word exhort mean? We talked about it last, encouraging. So we're supposed to, the Bible says there's a link between showing up and encouraging. Is it encouraging to you to come to church here on Sunday night and there's folks here? Have you driven by some of the church parking lots to see what's happening there on Sunday nights? You know, it's discouraging when you go. You know, I've always said empty pews depress me. People say, preacher, I won't be there, but I'll be there in spirit. Well, I like meat on the pews. So I like people here. And so it's encouraging. When I look at you, when I come on Sunday night and we have a church full of people, that always encourages my heart. And the Bible tells us that we grow up by showing up. So we need to attend with regularity. How regular? How faithful is your attendance? You know, if many Christians had the same kind of attendance record on their job as they do in their church, they'd be in the unemployment line, wouldn't they? How regular is your attendance? I've known folks that, you know, that would not miss a bowling night. I mean, man, they got a commitment. They're on the team. They've got a bowling commitment, and they're going to go. I don't care if they don't feel good. They're going to go if they got to fight traffic, put one end down the other one. But because they've made a commitment, and some of those same people will miss church over every little thing comes along. You know, we ought to have the attitude that we are going to attend with regularity. Amen? We're going to make it. We're going to make it. We're going to make it. Number two, we need to attend with readiness. Attend with readiness. There ought to be an attitude of readiness when you come to church. Readiness to obey the Lord, readiness to serve, readiness to respond, readiness to sacrifice, readiness to be involved. Are you, when you in church, is there a readiness about you? Do you want to be a part of things? Do you want to respond to that? Or do you drag in here and get planted on the pew and nobody's going to move you? No matter what. Come with a readiness. Amen. I'm talking about growing up. How do we grow? Well, we grow by showing up with regularity and with a spirit of readiness. Then also we need to show up we need to attend with a spirit of rejoicing. We need to come and realize that when we're in church, we talked about this morning, Jesus said, I'll tell you what to rejoice about. Not that you're able to cast out demons. Not just that you went on this campaign and you saw success. He said, Jesus said, you know, they were talking about, you know, man, we saw that devils responded in your name. Jesus said, you know, look, you're not telling me anything. I saw Satan cast out of heaven. I know that. But he said, that's not the biggest thing to rejoice about. He said, the greatest thing to rejoice about is that your name is written in heaven. And he's telling us that this thing about rejoicing, it's talking about just stopping and realizing what we've really got. We're children of God. We are on our way to heaven. Already there. You know, when you study, it's astounding when you really think about it, when you look at the stars and realize the light that's coming and how many hundreds of years and thousands of years it's taken for that to get here. And you think about time and all of it. You realize that everything in God's mind, everything is already there. We're not on our way to heaven. We're already there. Boy, rejoice because you're a child of God. We need to attend. We need to get in church. But we need to come with a spirit when we get here that is rejoicing. We don't need to come like grouches. We don't need to come, woe is me. You know, the best thing to help you get over your problems is to care about somebody else who has problems. Boy, if we just get our focus off of our things, man, I mean, and I know that. And everybody has some problems. We've all got them. But the best way to deal with those is to not only show up and show up regularly, but show up rejoicing when you get here. Make up your mind, I'm going to enjoy this. I'm going to get something out of this. And I'm going to be reminded of how good God is. He tells us that we need to show up, all right? And then number four, we need to study up. We need to study up. Say that. We need to study up. You know, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. We need to study up. The Bible says we need to desire the milk. And he draws the comparison to a little baby. You know, you see a little precious baby and that little baby boy, I mean, you pull that bottle out and man, I mean, I got tickled of one day our daughter Cindy was over and she had Max there and she was telling us something, had Max in her arm and she had a bottle. And so she got the bottle out. And of course, the moment the bottle came out, Max glued in on that bottle like this. There's never been anything that is food that kid didn't like. I'm telling you. He glued. Well, she's telling us this story. And so she's got the bottle in her hand and he's going. And she'd bring it back by him. And just as it's kind of brushed his lips, she'd hold it off up here. I got to watching him. I thought that kid was going to wiggle plumb out of her arm. He was going. He was desiring the sincere milk, I'm telling you. Well, the Bible teaches us as Christians, we need to have a desire for God's Word. And so, you know, show up, but in addition to that, study up. Get you a system in mind that you can be able. We need to study God's Word. We need to be strong in our fight. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11 talks about putting on the whole armor of God. That's what they were studying this week in Bible school. It says that you put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand, you know, all the wiles of the devil. We need to study up. Get to know God's Word. Spend time reading God's Word. Take time every day to spend some time just reading His Word. We need to be secure in our faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, it says, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It's talking about being secure in our faith. Do you know what you believe? How many of you say, I know what I believe? Raise your hand. I know it. Be secure in your faith. Be strong in your fight. Fight for what is right. Be secure in your faith. And then be smart in our finish. You know, a lot of folks start out right, but it doesn't necessarily mean they're going to end right. I used to think a good start pretty much guaranteed a good finish. Learned that's not so. A lot of things start out right, but they don't finish right. A lot of Christians are strong in the Lord in their earlier years and maybe even in their child-rearing years, only to find that in their senior years, they become spiritually flabby. They begin to get out of serving and out of being faithful as the way that they need to be. The Bible tells us that we need to finish well. I like what Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:7. He said, I have fought a good fight and I have finished my course and I've kept the faith. I'm talking about that we need to study up. We also need to send up. We need to send up. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men. We need to send up our petitions, don't we? Growing up means that we need to petition heaven. We need to make known our needs, our thoughts, our desires, our hungers. The Bible tells us that we need to call upon Him. The Scripture says we need to pray not only for our daily bread, but we need to pray for one another, pray for the needs, pray for revival to come in this land. We need to be sending up our petitions to heaven. Not only do we need to send up petitions, but we need to send up our problems. The Bible says in everything by prayer. If it's worth worrying about, it's what? It's worth praying about. Send up your problems to heaven. Whatever it is that seems insurmountable, whatever it is that you cannot seem to find an answer for, there is no problem too big but that God cannot handle it. How many of you really believe that? You believe that's true? Send your problems to heaven. Bring them before God. Call it by name. Pray about it every day. And the Bible teaches us that if we'll keep doing that, God will handle it. He'll either answer our prayers this way by removing the problem, or He will strengthen us to be able to bear up the problem, or God will change the circumstances that's going around. But heaven is never silent over anything that we pray about. You know, the Bible tells us that God hears every single prayer, that His ear is always inclined unto His people. How many of you are a child of God? Raise your hands. Your prayers reach heaven. Preacher, sometimes I feel like that my prayers just don't even get out of the room. Don't even get above the ceiling. They don't have to. He's in the room. But the Bible teaches us that if we will send our prayers, send our problems on to God, that God will hear that, that He will respond. We need to send up our petitions. We need to send up our problems. We need to send up our praise. Amen? God wants us to praise Him. We need to praise the Lord. Praise Him for what He, for who He is. Praise Him for what He has done. Praise Him for what He is doing. Praise Him for what He's going to do. But we need to send up our praises. Amen. And then notice that number six, we need to stand up. We need to stand up. Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 3. Jeremiah was talking about how backslidden and how very far from God his people had become. He said, "And they bend their tongues like the bow for lies, but they're not valiant for the truth upon the earth. For they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith the Lord." We need to stand up. We need to stand up for the truth. Amen. Stand up for the truth. We need to stand up for our testimony. We need to stand up for that. Stand up because of what you believe and because of who you are. Because you're a child of God. Stand up for your testimony. We need to stand up for the task that God has involved us in. All of us have a job to do. That's what we're studying on Wednesday nights in the gifts. There's a task that we're to perform. Everybody is involved. Some of you this week were involved in the task of the Vacation Bible School. Some are involved in bus routes and driving vans. Some are involved in the Sunday school class program, the Bible studies, the lessons that we teach. There are many different things that we're involved, but all of us have a task. All of us have a place on the wall that we're supposed to serve. There's a task that we have to complete. And we need to stand up for that and understand that our task, our purpose, our calling is something that God wants us to be active and to grow up in and be involved. And then number seven, we need to lift up. We need to lift up. The Bible tells us that we should lift up. He talks about the lonely and the downhearted. He says the hands of those that are feeble and downhearted. In Psalm 121 verse 1, it says, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help." We need to lift up those that are lonely and downhearted. Amen. There's a time when everybody needs your help. There's going to be times in our church family when we're going to have families in our church that's going through a rough time, and they're going to need your help. That's the time when you need to come and put your arms around them and tell them, "We love you, we're here for you, we're going to make it through this together." Amen. There is a time when we need to lift up those that are lonely. Lift up those that are downhearted. Lift up those that are struggling. Lift up those that are suffering. Lift up those that are having a rough time. We need to lift up them, and as the Lord would have us to do. And then we need to lift up those that are leaders on the front line. We need to lift up those that are leaders on the front line. Listen to in Exodus chapter 17. Remember the story how that Moses, they came to the Red Sea, and the Lord would have him to, as he lifted up his spear, and when he did, the Red Sea divided. And as he did that, the Bible tells us that against the Amalekites, when he lifted up the Bible tells us they were receiving a great victory. And then it tells us that as he would hold that, as Moses' arm would start to weaken and get tired, it would start to come down. And the Bible tells us that when it did, they would start losing the battle. And he'd lift that back up again, they would win. Start to sag, they would lose. And you remember what Aaron and Hur did? They stood on each side and they held his arm up, and they held that until the battle was won. We need to lift up those that are serving on the front lines. We need to help every way we can. I'm talking about lifting up. And then, of course, we need to not only lift up those that are lonely and downhearted and those that are leaders in the front line, but we also need to lift up our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in John chapter 12 and verse 32, He said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." We need to lift up Jesus every opportunity we get. Point Him out to folks. talk about Him. Tell folks what Jesus has done for me. He is what it's all about. Amen. The reason why we have these ministries, it's about Jesus. This week, all the little innovative ways that the workers were trying to do, they were trying to find ways just to show the children to lift up Jesus. And that's what it's all about. That's why you sacrifice. That's why you're here tonight. You're here to just lift Him up. Lift Him up. We sing that song, lift Him up. All you people, lift Him up. That's what the Bible says. That's the way you grow. We grow when we lift up Jesus. I want you to bow your head tonight with head bowed and eyes closed in the room. Every head bowed and every eye closed. We have